Welcome to our special weekend show, Sunday Uncensored. Every week, we produce four uncensored episodes of the TimCast IRL podcast exclusively at TimCast.com, and we're going to bring you the most important for our weekend show. If you want to check out more segments just like this, become a member at TimCast.com. Now, enjoy the show. Welcome, everybody, to the special My Birthday After Show. Ian came up to join us.
Hi, everyone.
He looks like he just woke up.
I have been practicing. I've actually been very tired. I was up really late last night.
You look like it.
Yeah, thanks.
What's really late? 6 a.m., 7 a.m.?
Yeah, 7 a.m.
And then you went to bed and you woke up?
I slept for like 2 hours today, probably. But anyway, I want to rock and roll. You guys are talking about
We'll do the song later. So for everybody who wants to hear the conversation.
Chill and talk, too. Let's do that.
Because then I'll play a song, too. We have this story from TimCast.com. Seth Rogen cites lack of children for his success. Uh-huh. Me and my wife seem to get a lot more active enjoyment out of not having kids than anyone I know seems to get out of having kids. And I just want to cope and seethe. Is that the appropriate response? Cope and seethe?
You know what's interesting to me is that you hear a lot of celebrities now, and it's become this sort of like popular thing to say, oh, we're glad we didn't have kids. We're successful because we didn't have kids. Who was somebody? Who was it? You probably remember. She said, I got my Oscar because I had an abortion.
Oh yeah.
Who was that?
I forget who
Ashley
that was.
Ashley Judd or something like that?
Ashley Judd.
No, okay. I know she's a prominent antinatalist.
Yeah, she certainly was. And then
Michelle Williams.
That's right. Yeah.
Seth Rogen was going hard on it today.
That's what we're talking about. And yet you never hear the reverse. You never hear someone say, oh, I wish I didn't have children. Mm-hmm. I wish that I didn't have these kids. These kids are the worst. Why did I even do this?
Yeah, I certainly don't feel that way.
I saw one. It was a friend of mine.
Even in real life, she used to be a friend,
but she was like on Adderall and had a Ukraine. I don't know if the Ukraine flag in the bio means anything, but it was probably Adderall, like being distanced from emotions. And she's like, my kid is this and that. It's like, dude.
I mean, look, don't get me wrong. People vent. Right. People are going to vent here and there. Mm-hmm. But to put out a statement about that where it's like, I'm glad I never had children, or on the flip side, I wish I had never had children. It just doesn't happen.
I feel like it's so much more a political statement than a statement about reality.
100%.
It's more like tribal signaling than actually a reflection of their experience in life. Because they say, oh, you know, I don't have children, and that's why I have all of these things, and that's why I'm successful. And it's like, there are an infinite amount of people that have children and that have done amazing things. So to think that you can't have a successful life because of your children is completely ridiculous and totally detached from reality.
Yeah, I mean, it barely even warrants a reply.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that stupid.
When I was thinking, my hesitance to have kids in the early days was I wanted to be able to fly them around the world with me because I didn't want to be the dad on the road.
That's fair.
That happens to me every day, man. I think about that all the time. And that's why I've tried for the longest time. We're even talking about something for the summer, some plans that I take them with me as much as I can. And I will do so as long as I can until they're in school. And even at that point, you know, we'll see what we can do.
Well, I take my, if it's summer, I take my son on all kinds of whatever stuff I have to do.
Yeah.
You know, and then like I plan like vacations around whatever the things are that I have to do.
Yeah, like we went to Israel this fall.
Right.
It was amazing.
Yeah, we're planning a West Coast trip to see, I have two brothers. One of my brothers moved out to San Francisco. We're planning a West Coast trip to go see my brother and
you were alluding
some family and...
Like, I guess I was thinking, as long as you're not like not seeing them 30 days and then seeing them 1 or 2 days,
you were thinking the
good times outweigh the amount of time you got to be away from them. When you actually are there with your kids, it's so much better than being there with no kids.
You were thinking more of like if you were like on tour as a musician, right?
Having to fly to Sweden to talk to for some 2 day thing.
Yeah, but for sure, traveling like that, it is hard when you have to take my kid with me. Yeah, when you have to leave for like so. From my experience, like that, it is a really tough thing to be like, I have to leave for, you know, 6 weeks.
Mm,
you know,
if we go
on tour, like we're not going for a weekend, especially if you're starting out, if you're because we're talking about young people having mm-hmm. kids when they're young. If you're looking to start as a touring artist and you're going to be on tour for a month, 6 weeks, 10 weeks or whatever, it is really, really difficult.
There's not a lot of stable families in that field. Military is the same way, right? You know, I remember the unit I was in because we were in a high deployment unit, high up tempo before I got out, last one I was in, that, I mean, I could just see the guys who had been in there for, you know, 20 years, guys who were in 30 years, and all of them were on their second wife, all of them were like starting their second family. And you hear all these jokes about, oh, I'm a starter wife, I'm a starter family, and all this. And it's like, I don't want a starter family. I want a family.
But that happens no matter what profession you're in, too. I mean, it doesn't just happen
Seth
in the
Rogen's
military.
Only 40? Wow. I thought he was 50.
My dad older. Had.
He's 40. He looks.
I'm sorry. He looks
wives,
terrible.
Basically.
More green vegetables.
One wasn't married, but he has children with four different women.
Yo, I thought he was like 50.
And he never moved out of. I mean, he never moved out of New England.
Right, so. But I'm also I'm also making a more general point that certain industries and certain occupations lend themselves to
When
that.
I was married, me and my wife went through two deployments. She went to Iraq once and Afghanistan once. And that doesn't make anything easier.
That sounds awful.
At all. Yeah. It was horrible. It sucked.
Without revealing other people's private information, my buddies. I mean, when you're distance, the point of being together is literally being together.
Yep.
Right. When you're there, you know? So distance,
that's one of the reasons, man, when it comes to, you know, this. We never show videos. They always show those videos of a soldier coming home to their kids and they're all so happy, but they never show the video of the front end of that where, you know, daddy's got to go off to get shot at. Mommy's got to go off to get shot
Sounds
at.
Brutal.
And you sit there and you go, I mean, you think of like a Joe Kent situation and he's, you know, I'll talk about it because he's open about it, that about what happened to his wife, you know, two little boys and she's killed in Syria. And then Matt Gaetz goes up yesterday and tries to get someone to just answer the question, why do we have these troops over there doing all this? And so we have to fight ISIS. Well, is ISIS in Syria poised to attack us? Like, you're going to find crazy groups everywhere in the world.
It's because mm-hmm. the pipeline and they think oil will be $9.99 a gallon.
No. I mean, I get all that. But I guess as, you know, if there's anything that I can do from to be a voice for is to say that these are real people with real families and real children that are losing parents and losing time with parents, which can be just as bad mm-hmm. for their development, that you're sending people and you're playing with these families. And if you're going to do that, then okay, let's do that for a reason that matters.
You only have little kids for like a minute.
I know.
Like, thankfully, like I mean, I'm hoping to have kids in my life, but I didn't have young kids and miss out on their you know, formative years and stuff. Our guitar player just had his first kid, or had a kid a year and a half ago, and we've done one tour since, and it was 10 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, I watched the guy suffering. You know, this dude that I'd been in a band with for 20 years, you know, I've heard all the jokes you can imagine that dudes would make, you know, in a metal tube, and then watching him just be miserable, crying because he's got to leave his kid. And it's like, you know, you've had like this awesome situation where he's been at home for the first year of the kid. You know, it's like it's
tough for anyone. It's almost like there's a biological, like, spiritual, natural imperative to raising children.
But let's just think about this from a logical standpoint, not an emotional one. People like Seth Rogen, what makes them who they are will cease to exist from humanity.
By the way, I'd just like to say that I'm totally fine with Seth Rogen not having kids.
Speaking about
this is my point. If these are the people like Chelsea Handler and Seth Rogen who aren't having kids, we're not upset. I mean, more power to them. They're doing what they want, and I don't care if they have kids.
If the media manipulates people to not have kids, then they're selecting themselves out of the gene pool. I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it.
So I'll give you a great example. So
Ian, have kids.
Thanks.
Ian, go to Latin Mass, right? Remember, we're going in Austin, and then have kids.
Are you guys going to Austin?
Right after Latin Mass that night?
Yes, exactly.
Make it happen?
We'll find some girl for you. It'll be great. So,
Karis, oh my goodness.
Karis downstairs.
So this Sunday, I remember, so it's Lent right now, and I've, you know, you're supposed to, you know, sacrifice something for Lent. So something I'm doing is I'm doing digital fast on Sundays. So no social media, no screens.
Oh, I've been wondering, how does that feel?
Mark Wahlberg's 40-day challenge, you mean?
It's amazing. I'm definitely super against the Hallow app. Like, I'm sorry, Mark. Like, Marky Mark.
What's the Hallow?
Pay $8.99 to learn how to pray.
Oh, really? No.
I've basically been digitally fasting on weekends as it is for a while.
That's amazing. And it's so good.
And you're standing
and so,
a lot.
So
sitting a lot. No, I just go to the poker tables and just turn everything off and ignore everybody. It's very healthy.
And I came back on like Sunday night or Monday morning, whatever it was, and was like, hey, man, somebody was like dragging you on Twitter and this thing went on, that thing went on. I was like, you know what I did? I was walking around the lake counting turtles with my kids.
That sounds
counting
nice.
Turtles.
I was just counting turtles with my kids. We found three.
This is the worst thing because
it's huge.
Yeah. Every day someone sends me something like, bro, did you see what they're saying about you now?
Every time, like, man. Every time.
They say shit about me all the time, dude. What do the
crickets say about you?
So you know, my phone was dead. I had like 10% battery left.
Yeah.
Last weekend. I was like, this is perfect. And I just put it in my pocket and I'm like, I'm going to sit at this table and nothing else is happening.
It's so good. It's
amazing.
And
then I had some sushi. Some crab rangoons.
You know what else we've been doing
those
is
good.
And I've been reading a ton. I've been and just getting the physical book. And I was a guy and that I got this from when I was in the military, just deploying a lot because you can't really carry books. So I kind of got into ebooks. I got used to it. But then I would read on my phone. And the problem with reading your phone is that you read like a couple sentences and then you're
and
like,
then you get
and you're like, what's going on Twitter?
Yeah.
What's going over here?
Just, exactly.
And then you miss it. And I forgot how fast you can read with a physical book.
You can just read the
book.
You
could just, you flow fast.
I keep thinking about the neural net.
Totally fly.
Like, well, and it's a different
experience. It's like reading like a 10X.
It's like a movie. Like reading a book, a physical book enfolds in your brain.
Oh, it's better than, it's better than a movie.
Yeah.
If it's a good book, it can be better.
In your brain. Yeah.
Do you guys think Neuralink is inevitable or their species will just divide or bifurcate and people will and people won't and there'll be conflict or something?
I think
there'll be a species that, so there'll be divisions, but I also think that there's something immutable to humanity that no amount of sophistication, whether it be Neuralink or anything like that, will ever be able to compensate for.
Yeah, like you were saying, counting turtles with that depth perception of reality, like you're supposed to look into the horizon for 15 minutes a day or
something. So when we went to Davos with Tanya, I guess 2 years ago now, it was May of 2022. So that we went to the metaverse, had a kiosk like set up there on the street. And so Tanya goes in and the metaverse, you know, this like Swedish girl comes up to her and says, she's like, oh, this is wonderful. Then your children, they will not need to go to the zoo. They will not need to go to the forest. They can just go to the forest in the metaverse.
Oh, my goodness. What a horror.
And so Tanya's looking at her going, so you want my kids to sit in their room with the not just on the screen, but with the screen attached to their face and be not interacting with real nature or going to a zoo and seeing real animals, but you want them to see fake animals on a screen? And it just as a mom, you know, and kind of
it's a
half normie, she was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
No way.
Ethical question. Would you Neuralink with your child so that you would never be away from them?
No.
What if you had to travel a lot?
No.
Like 6 months out of the year.
Never. No. I mean, and I grew
on space,
up
in space or something.
I grew up without my mom present.
What are you saying
in
a metaverse scenario?
No, I would never.
An astronaut. You get selected to go on some mission. You're going to be gone for 4 months out of the year at a time or whatever. You have a chance to link up with your kids so you can share thoughts.
No, that's a terrible idea. You should not be sharing thoughts with your children. Your child should grow up
would it be permanent?
As their own person.
No. It would just be an
optional. To be resilient and strong.
Open source opportunity.
Would it be like a phone call? You know,
what if you could plug your kid's brain in and reprogram bad things, you know? Like,
I would never do anything like that.
But what if he's like throwing rocks at cats.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you're like, you got to stop doing that.
He did once destroy an iPad with a rock.
Wow.
Because he wanted to see what would happen.
No, serious question. Like, what if you catch your kid capturing cats and torturing them? Would you be like, I am going to remove that from them. This is a bad thing. They're going in a bad direction.
Yeah, but you don't remove something by tampering with someone's brain in a gross and physical sense.
Here's a question
Ask
for you guys.
Why they did it
if first. Your kid accidentally killed someone, would you shield them from the law?
I think it depends on the
was
circumstances.
Was it an actual accident?
An accident. Like they're driving and they blew a red light, hit a car, the person died. They come home in a panic saying, what do I do? Would you would you shield them in any way?
I think I would probably.
Of course.
I would hire the best fucking attorney I could possibly find.
I think a lot of parents would
be like, that was me driving.
I drove the car.
I wouldn't do that. Like, I wouldn't say like, I was driving the car because that would be too easily disproven.
I was when
There's
I was in
cameras
the
everywhere.
When I was in the military, you know, there's always that question of like, hey man, would you take a bullet for the president? You know, would you do this? Would you take a bullet for that person? And it's always kind of like, well, I mean, I'd prefer not to, right? You know, I'd prefer to be in a situation where you mm-hmm. don't have to, you know, do that. You know, I don't know. But like, when it comes to my kids, it's like, I don't even have to think about it. Of course I would.
That's probably like, just genetic.
Of course I would.
Like ancient genetic.
And there isn't, oh, it's that's your baseline, like first build, like God had the first thought of a human. And that's like the first thing.
So in this neural net experiment. So,
yeah. Like I don't even have to think about it. Of course I would take a bullet for my kids.
So if you were the neural net thing, if it was like optional, like the kid didn't have to, you weren't reading his mind. It was just like, when you guys want to talk, you can. And it's like, you can just trade thoughts really quick. You can see what he's seeing. So you can like see what he's up to if he wants to. Would you take that opportunity?
I think independence is too essential for a human being to be able to survive and to feel good and to be confident. I would not want that.
Are you talking about phone calls?
You're talking about cyborgs.
Yeah,
video chat. Calls. Like it's just kind of the next evolution of video chat.
I don't think it is the next evolution, but I'm totally opposed to Neuralink. I don't want any piece of this.
It's like one of those, like, what do they call it? The loading room in Matrix, right? Right. Yeah. Where it was all white and you just kind of, you could just call up whatever you wanted, you know? And so if it was something like that and I could meet my kid there virtually,
then essentially you're both experiencing it's a virtual place, but you're not in your
each other's head. That's what I'm saying. It's like a phone call.
Playing video
you don't want to go into someone else's head, and you don't want someone else actually inside your head.
Well, what if like the government held you down and plugged a Neuralink into you and then like started downloading your thoughts and you're like, no.
I guess the question is
I think you'd just have to be like, no.
That's actually what happens to Ian after every show.
It's more about if it's just like a VR that is like you can put on and you're in a room with your kid and you can have like a normal conversation, that's as opposed to injecting something into your neck. Like, I think the people have a big problem with the injectable thing.
Did you guys
thing.
Hear the story yeah, I, about I the like do- the 20-something year old daughter who gave her kidney to her 60-year-old dad?
I did, and she didn't even that, tell but it was him. Like and an, he was like,
was
I don't
want to. Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, absolutely do not do this.
Right, and I feel like anyway. he probably felt immense pain at learning that his daughter is going to live 10 more years so he can live 5, that she'll be 35 and
she'll lose 10 years.
No, you don't live that long when you have one kidney. Like, people who give kidney transplants don't live that long.
What do you really?
Yeah,
you
like you're like she might live to be 50, and you can't drink, and you have to be careful on your diet. You have one kidney. It's like,
I wonder if stem cells will help.
No more alcohol ever. You know, and so she's in her 20s, and she gave her dad a kidney, that'd so we cool can have what, 5 more years.
Fun stem cell treatment for her.
Well, she already gave her kidney up.
But for her single kidney,
I'm just saying the point is, healthy for her life. Like, I can't imagine she thinks she's doing the right thing because she loves her dad. But I feel like that's probably the most painful thing
yeah,
a dad heard.
I don't think I would do that for my parents, and I even. I like my parents.
I don't think a parent would
want me to.
No, I
like,
don't think so.
I wouldn't
let my kids.
Homer Simpson has said this on more than one occasion. Every parent's dream is to watch their children die.
Huh.
Or something like that.
What about the doctors who let her do that knowing that it was against her
father?
Well,
to outlive
wishes.
Their children. So to outlive their children. Not to watch them die, but to outlive their children. Yeah.
I don't obviously no one feels that way.
At what point do you think when you're like communicating with someone that you're in their brain?
You said earlier you don't want to be in
someone's brain.
I don't think you're ever in someone's brain. I think that you can have the feeling that you're super close to somebody and that you're entirely
simpatico. He's talking
simpatico.
About Neuralink, though.
I know. But like, I don't know, like once you get to that point of...
Because like when you look at someone's eyes, you're kind of brain to brain vibrating, like bouncing light brain to brain directly because of the eyeball brain... Stem.
But isn't that part of the beauty of it, of communication though, is being able to attain that level of closeness without actually penetrating the other person's mind?
Oh, that is pretty cool. I mean, that is communication.
That's the most wonderful thing.
I think Neuralink is going to be a Pandora's box of opening up things that we're never going to be able to fully predict. Because keep in mind that at any given time, you have a running stream of consciousness. We all do. We're already seeing the effects of the world with Twitter, where Twitter is almost like we're being exposed to everyone else's stream of consciousness. Whereas as before, it's like, oh, hey, that's my neighbor. You know, I know my neighbor. That's what's up, Bob. You know, Bob usually goes to work around this time. Bob puts his trash out, you know, in the morning. I put my trash out in the evening. And that's what I know of Bob, right? But now it's like I can follow Bob on Twitter and it's like, whoa, Bob believes what about Trump? Bob believes what about the FBI? Bob believes what, you know, believes what, you know, Bob's Nathan, Bob this, Bob's that. And suddenly it, you're judging people based on their inner thoughts. We're already doing that. And we're seeing how Twitter and other social media are really testing the fabric of society. So with Neuralink, I think you're going to have that on a whole nother level.
Yeah, worse than people realize.
Yep. To the point where, like, you can't even control the thoughts that you
think about this algorithmic thought distribution.
Right,
you'll be sitting there being like, "I'm gonna think something really nice and send it to my family," and then your family never hears the nice thoughts, only the angry thoughts.
Well, the other thing too that happens is, if you think about it, like sometimes you have thoughts that are like totally wacky thoughts and you didn't even mean to have them. They just come into your
mind. I don't have thoughts like that, Libby. What are you talking about?
They're called intrusive thoughts.
Intrusive thoughts.
Yeah.
And or like, you know, you have a dream.
Those come from demons, by the way.
Not something that you want. And you have to be able to say to yourself, okay, these are thoughts that I'm having. That doesn't mean that they are thoughts that I believe in. I am entertaining these thoughts and they are going to flit right by and I don't have to deal, like I don't have to internalize. You don't have to internalize all the thoughts you have.
Yeah, there's this.
Some of them you can just be like, oh, that's crazy. I thought that.
The tobacco demon hits me every once in a while.
The like,
they call it the father.
The tobacco demon.
The ayahuasca demon. The mother. Tobacco's the father.
So I've never, like, I quit drinking, 17 years? And like, I don't think about, like, I never have that feeling of like, oh, I want to drink. But every once in a while, just randomly, I could be driving, I could play music, whatever, and it'll just hit me like, man, I go for a cigarette. It's like, where did that come from?
I haven't had a drink in 5 years, and I haven't had a cigarette in three. I never think about drinking ever. I don't care. Cigarettes, man, if I walk by someone smoking, I'm like, man, I'm going to kick your ass and take that, you know.
In South America, this dude was telling me they would boil the tobacco and then drink it and puke and have these psychedelic experiences. And the natives would call it like,
I mean,
the
father.
I just want to drag.
But it's similar to how ayahuasca
is. I just want
to
drag.
I guess maybe even mix those two together at some point.
Right, so it wasn't just the ayahuasca plant that they were doing it with.
I didn't know they had tobacco fasts, but they were like tobacco ceremonies and stuff. So there's this frequency called the Schumann resonance. It's in the ELF band, the extremely low frequency band of our, I don't know if it's in the lower outer atmosphere or inner atmosphere or something, but it changes in frequency.
It's just a frequency band. It depends on what it is.
And it violates. It like goes up and down. And you're like, what the fuck? And it seems to resonate with human activity. I don't know. I've heard that. I haven't really looked too deep.
I was actually talking about the ELF band earlier this week because that's how you communicate with submarines.
Okay. And I wonder if that's where those thoughts are coming from. They come into your head.
You need a giant antenna. Super powerful to be able, because you have to penetrate through the salt water. You have to penetrate through the salinity layers to be able to get to the submarine, which is beneath. And it's like texting on a Nokia phone, even with all this power. And then we get out. That's why I was talking about the Nord Stream attack.
Don't know the rest of the words?
No. I don't know the rest of the words. That's all I got.
I want to play this song. I don't know.
Wait, do you want to look up the lyrics to House of the Rising Sun and I'll play it?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Phil Labonte singing House of the Rising Sun.
Can I sing too?
Yeah, if you can sing.
祝你生日快乐，祝你生日快乐，祝你生日，祝你生日，Tim，祝你生日快乐。
I learned I think it's Mandarin.
Bipan
Dojang.
A minor C D F. And then the short end of the verse is Do-jang? A minor E.
Pipan Dojang.
A critical struggle.
I'll watch you and do it.
No?
Pipan Dojang. Jang.
Dojang?
Yeah. You don't have a bass, do you?
Yeah. Yeah, we took the bass out for the music video shoot. Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead. Start it. You start it. All
right.
A house in New Orleans, they call the rising sun, and it's been the room of many a poor boy, and God, I know I'm one. My mother was a tailor.
Why'd you stop?
Because I don't know the rest of it.
Oh, you're reading it.
Well, I'm warmed up.
It's fucking rock.
I'm gonna play this one.
This is the beginning.
Where do we leave off?
Now the only thing a gambling man ever needs.
Not the only thing a gambler needs.
It's a suitcase and a trunk.
A trunk.
Yeah. And the only time a fool like him is satisfied is when he's on a drunk. So mothers, tell your children not to do
us half playing a song because everybody's kind of gave up halfway. But
yeah, you know what happened is I looked up the lyrics and I only got half the lyrics. I had to look up Dylan's lyrics to get all of
Dylan's?
Them.
I'm on a digital fast. Oh, I was really? Just here to rock.
I have no idea like how the song
the
goes
animals.
Beyond the first
yeah
like
yeah,
the first one.
It's all the same thing.
I like how they change.
I always like the
yeah
it's our low and the big old hair.
All right, I'm gonna play this song Earthbound because I do that in this song. I change octaves. It's called Earthbound. Here goes. Let me get this. I want to make sure you can hear the guitar, too.
Let's see if you ad-lib some screams, some harmonies.
We can do it.
I just need to practice it so I know it.
Sit on the ground, pushing it down. Everyone feels just a little bit. All of the people pushing a little bit. All over round, heads that abound, pushing and pulling so intricate. All of a sudden, the rivers of golden dreams. We can row, we can stream the flow, suffering a little bit. We can change the world and we both know that no one's just half of it. We'll open inside, you're playing live, rocking and rolling on the edge of it. As we tip over, we fall to the side. Long days alone, the feelings I've known, give me a little bit of everything. All my emotions run red with the sound. We're gonna find our go-kart, all things in time. Everyone plays the game a little bit. All the people curve around and I'm into it. We're gonna find all things in time. Everyone plays the game a little bit. All the time spent making, taking and breaking it. Oh shit, here we go. And we can rise, we can stream the tide, smiling up towards ecstasy. We can hang around and climb the boughs that spread out of the walking tree. Open inside, hey, playing alive, rocking and rolling on the edge of it. As we tip over, fall to the side. You see how without a thought, hey, long days alone, and the feelings I know. Give me a little bit of everything. All my emotions run red.
that last part up there. I go into a little bit more harmony there, I guess. Oh, we can do that last part again. We can ride. We can ride.
Karma Police. You've got the voice for that, though.
Yeah, that song. So those high notes.
Yeah, not, that's more. That's more you than Phil.
Phil could do. I think that song could be really, really raucous. Really fucking up my foot.
Goes on longer than that or whatever.
You know? It just kind of repeats.
Yeah, like one more time.
It's only 4.5 minutes.
What was that?
It's not. It's not a super long song. It's only 4.5 minutes.
4.5. That seems long.
That's a long song. That's not short.
You know, I have one other song. Short, I think we're gonna consider releasing on Trash House Records coming up.
Let's,
it's called Frequent Measure.
What's a cover we could do?
Blame it on.
Do something easy.
Something easy.
Do Green Day.
Everybody knows.
She. Let's sing She by Green Day in honor of Women's Day yesterday.
No, I don't know that one.
She's
the thin silence. It's the boss.
I haven't seen, listened to that song forever. Just do some Rammstein, something light.
Ah. Yeah, Du hast. I know that one. That's a good song.
Du riechst so gut. Little Sabaton.
It's like a four. Do some like
House of the Rising Sun. The easy one. Like everybody knows that.
Dottero,
oh, I used to know how to play Ohio.
Berlin is burning.
Journey?
No, you know not that. Journey.
No, I'm just saying.
But that's just like four chords. That's
I'm
like A F C G.
I'm just saying everyone knows
you
it.
You can play any pop song with A F C G.
What about Beatles?
Mm-hmm.
I used to know a ton of Beatles. I don't know anything. I was playing a crackpot version of Blackbird a moment ago.
Black Sabbath singing in the dead of night.
But I don't actually know how to play it. I just like, you know, crackpot version. I like Red Tabs once, and that was about it. Well, I don't know. If you don't got any ideas, maybe we'll go to
Oasis,
bed.
Oasis?
Ah, man, I used to know all that stuff.
Oasis.
You know what
like,
I used to know is
like,
have you ever seen The Rain? How do you play that?
I love that song.
Every Creedence song is good.
I haven't.
How do you play? Have you ever...
Someone told me long ago.
Yeah, that's great. That one's really easy. How do you play?
Yeah,
that
it is. That it's like walks down.
I don't know. I can't remember the last time I sat down to learn someone else's music.
Kid songs for me.
It's how easy it is.
Like kid songs and like Christmas songs.
So long ago, there's a calm before the storm, and I know it's been coming for some time. When it's over, so they say, it'll rain a sunny day, and I know.
Have you ever seen the rain?
Have you ever seen the rain?
You know it, right?
I don't know it. I know
John Fogerty.
CCR.
Yeah.
Yesterday and the days before, sun is cold, the rain is hard, and I know been that way for all my time. Till forever on it goes through the circle, fast and slow, and I know it can't stop.
Like when you really say it, is that been your experience? When you really,
I want to know. Yeah, it's a big one.
But just in general, as a singer, when you're singing, it's less about hitting the notes or making it sound right. It's just about saying what you're saying.
No,
you find it the opposite or both together. Well, how do you see it?
You gotta know where you're going.
Well, that's for sure. You gotta have the technical. If your shoes aren't tied, you're gonna trip.
No,
but
you have to know where you're going. Like so,
you think so?
Yes, when you say. Shoes aren't tied. You're talking about like how you're starting to get there. You have to know where you're going. You have to know where the note is. You don't have to know. You don't have to have perfect pitch, but you have to have good relative pitch. So you have to hear the other notes that are going on around you in the song, and you have to know where you're going to.
So once you know, then when you're singing it, yes. I used to be all technical. I'm like, I gotta hit the note how I think it sounds, and then I realized, no, I gotta say the words like I think they mean. And when you do that in the notes,
it's two different. Well, there's three things that when I'm in the box and I'm doing stuff, there's three things that producers tell me. They're going to tell me I don't believe it, which means I'm not performing it well, my timing, or my notes. So either I don't believe it, pitch, or timing. Those are the only thing that they say. Like I'll do a line and the only thing I hear in my ears is the producer go, timing.
Because if you're focused too much on your pitch, then you might not believe it.
Exactly.
But if you're focused too much on believing it, then you might not hear it.
Well, I was too much on believing it on Earthbound, but my speed was completely fucked. And like it was all over the place. So the, that's
those are the three things you need to make sure. You have to be in time, you have to have the right pitch, and then you also have to perform it. So you can be like, if you're hitting the notes, but you're doing na 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 na, you know, as a na 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 na, you know, it's like you're not performing. Unless you're like giving it. So it's, but those come are
on,
the three things.
Come on, Phil, what do you know about recording music?
Not a goddamn thing!
Do you ever record with multiple microphones at the same time?
No.
Is that, you think that might be a good
one
idea?
One at a time, do it over, and then you use, there's this program called called Vocaline that we use.
Do you know Country Roads Take Me Home?
Country Roads.
Here we go.
Play take that. Me home.
I was going to suggest that, by the way.
I don't know the beginning.
West Virginia, Mountain Mama, take me home.
Country roads,
take me home to the place where I belong. West Virginia, Mountain Mama, take me home, country roads.
That's another one. I don't know the verse.
We only know the chorus.
The
yeah. Well, I have it pulled out, but
I don't know how the rest goes.
West Virginia,
is that the,
Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Yeah. Life is old there.
Wait, you scroll down on me.
Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, Mountain Mama, country roads,
memories.
I don't know how to sing the verse.
I don't know how the verse goes.
That bridge is, I don't know what the chords are on the bridge.
There's just the chorus.
And in the morning hour she calls me. Radio reminds me of my home far away. Do, do, do,
do. Oh yeah, look at that, you got it.
Yesterday. Take me home.
As I was going over the Corking Kerry Mountains, I saw Captain Biddle and his money he was counting. I first produced my pistol and then produced my rapier. I said, "Sand and liver for the devil, I may see bear musha ring dum a doo dum a da bum 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 bum." I called the daddy-o. There's whiskey in the jar.
Well, there was like a good 20 seconds and that sounded really awesome with all of us singing.
Yeah, that was good. It was like a thing. And then,
all right, how about we wrap it up, I guess.
That was a thing.
Okay, then.
Thanks, so this was guys. A special birthday wrap-up sing-along that we all got to participate in.
That was
so
really fun.
Happy Wednesday.
Yeah. I sang happy birthday to Tim in Chinese.
Nice. He did. It was really great. Yeah, actually. We got to do Chinese country roads. That'd be great. Awesome. All right, Jack, thanks for hanging out. Libby, thanks for hanging out.
Thanks,
yeah, it's been a blast. And for everybody who's a member, thanks for hanging out on my birthday and listening to us play some music. And I thought that was something that was pretty awesome. We should do something like more like that later on. Like, maybe we should actually like learn a song that everyone can sing along.
Rehearse it before I come
online. And I'll learn them.
But like if we could actually play Country Roads well and everyone sang along to that, that sounds pretty good.
农村马路让我回家 在 was this 我就是
I'll need help with pronunciation, but
西伯金亚 山妈妈带回家 农村路
I like it.
Well done.
All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging out, and we will see you all next time.